Sean Duke is here. He is science spinning around the place. He's our resident scientist, and he's going to talk to us today about sleep.
Yes, sleep. Well, we're awake here this morning now.
Yeah.
But sleep, it's actually, you would think it's one of those things that scientists would know an awful lot about, because it's a pretty obvious one. Why do we sleep? But actually, it remains, even though there's various theories on why we sleep, there's some evidence to support one over the other, and etc. There's no definitive answer. The first thing that comes to mind, I suppose, logically, when you think of sleep, is that maybe we sleep because we want to save energy. That, you know,
we're tired.
Yeah, we're tired. But you know, there's more to it than that, because fascinatingly, sleep actually starts in the womb. So even before you come out into this world, they've picked up these patterns, these brain waves, these REM, like the band REM, rapid eye movements, in these little tiny fetuses before they actually come out into the world. So it's something that's obviously very important for development. It's very important for learning. It's very important for memory. It's very important for trying to process a whole experience during the day, and to actually have a time where you can shut down, where you can literally say, right, our eyes are shut now, we're not taking in any more information at the moment, we're going to try and assimilate all that stuff that we got today, make sense of it, reorganize our brain, if you like, into new memories, and then start afresh in a few hours' time. And that seems to be the favored theory now among scientists, because it makes sense, because if you think about it, a newborn, right, if you look at a newborn is sleeping for about 16 hours and it's awake for 8 hours. As we get older, that becomes reversed. So you and me now, we're sleeping for about 8 hours and we're awake for 16 hours. And actually, in the elderly, the amount of sleep you require becomes less and less and less. You'll always require a certain amount. So that, to me, seems to favour this view, or the evidence to support it, of course, that the main reason that we sleep is because we need to learn. We need to lay down new memories, and of course, our brain. When our brains are really developing, when we're taking in this massive amount of information about the world around us, trying to make sense of it, is when we're very young, when we're babies. So we're trying to learn how to walk, we're trying to learn language, we're looking at the television, trying to figure out that, looking at these adults thinking, what's that? Is that mommy? Is that daddy? Who are these people? You know, and then as we get older, okay, we have certain things that are laid down. We know a lot of the things become automatic. So we drive, we do things on nearly automatic pilot. So these are all patterns that are laid down. But of course, there's new things that we're learning as well. No matter what age we are, we still have to learn new things. But the other aspect of it that seems to be favored at the moment is that it's a time when we can actually clear out some of these proteins that build up in our brain. Now, this is important, because with things like Alzheimer's, these have been associated with these proteins. They're nasty proteins. They're called amyloid B proteins. Doesn't matter what their name is. But if you have too many of these amyloid B proteins in your brain, as they're called, it can cause a serious problem. It can lead to Alzheimer's.
How do you get rid of those?
Well, you get rid of those. Normally what happens is that you actually process those, there's cells in your brain, and there's fluid in between the cells, and that the brain kind of flushes them out. So you're producing, these cells are producing proteins all the time, and when the brain is working properly, we're flushing out these proteins that can be nasty when they build up. In some people, that's not working too well, and that will lead to a build-up of these things, which can lead to Alzheimer's, and actually causes, like cheese, like Swiss cheese, it actually causes holes in your brain. Amazing, you can see that very clearly. So another thing that seems to happen when we're asleep is that the gaps between the cells, without getting too technical about it, but there's more space between the cells when we sleep, and the cells are in our brain seem to shrink a little bit, and this allows the brain to flush out, if you like. It's like a flushing system to get rid of these proteins. So, you know, it's very, very important for that, to have enough sleep.
Well, what's the difference between dozing off? Like, I fell asleep on the bus recently, right?
Yeah.
And I woke up just before my stop, which was good, because I wouldn't like to have the embarrassment of having to get off and go back. But when I woke up, I didn't know where I was. I was in a totally different world. I mean,
exactly.
Which day is it? Where am I going? Yeah. It was such a deep sleep, yet I was on the bus. Right?
That's right. So, that's right. We have different levels
of sleep. Is that the same sleep as is the sleep you get in bed, or is that a different sleep?
There's different levels of sleep. Like when we start off, we kind of, you might notice if you're not the first person to sleep in the bed, that your partner might do a little bit of twitching around in the bed. So that's your muscles, and that happens at a very light sleep. And then you go into a kind of an REM sleep. It's called rapid eye movements. So you can't actually see the eyes, but underneath your eyelids, your eyes are darting around, and then you go into a really deep sleep. So obviously you were in a pretty deep sleep on the bus, and if you wake up very quickly out of that very deep sleep, you just don't know where you are, what day of the week it is. So that's what happened to you. But there's another thing actually that's very relevant regarding sleep for lots of people these days, and it's this sleep apnea thing, which is linked to obesity. And sleep apnea is essentially, I had it myself, I have to admit, it's if you have a little bit of weight on you, it seems to happen more than if you don't have weight, if you're the ideal weight, and it causes snoring. So people that are a little bit overweight and snore a lot can have this sleep apnea. And a lot of people dismiss it as not being important. And even if their partner's complaining about the snoring, you know, what's the big deal type of thing? Well, actually, it is a big deal, because what's happening is that if you have this sleep apnea, it's and you're a little bit overweight, it's actually, science is saying that it's affecting your blood pressure. So your blood pressure is going up, but also it's affecting the hormones that influence your appetite. So this causes you, essentially, to make it simple, to be more hungry during the day. So you're going to eat more, so you're going to become more obese, you're going to get worse sleep apnea, so you can get into this nasty vicious cycle with sleep apnea. So it does need to be taken seriously, and you know, the only way really to break the cycle is to exercise and lose weight. And actually, in my own case now, I'm told that I don't snore as much, so yeah, just watch out for that, because that's a very common thing with sleep.
How much sleep do we actually need?
Varies. I mentioned the newborns. The newborns need lots.
But I mean, for a normal adult, people say, oh, you have to get the 8 hours, or every hour before midnight is the proper sleep and all that.
I looked it up. The average is 7.75.
Right?
So
okay.
Just under 8 hours sleep.
That is, it's in darkness. People on night shift, they can be very disrupted, can't they?
They can. That has problem. There's these things called circadian rhythms. That means that it's not necessarily the night and dark thing because your eyes are closed. It's the actual routine of it. So you need to have a routine of sleep that people that are on shifts, the problem with the shifts seems to be that you change shifts, that let's say you're a doctor, nurse, whatever, that you might have three nights, say, where you're working, and then it changes over the rest of the week, you're on days. Also with airline pilots and that, where they're crossing time zones, the problem is the lack of a routine, because your body needs to know this is the time for sleep, this is the time when I wake up, and this is the time I eat. Because again, the obesity story comes into this, because, for example, at night, your body, if you're going to sleep at 11 o'clock, say, your body is not expecting food at 10 o'clock. That's not the time it's meant to eat. If you do eat at that time, it's actually going to cause more problems in terms of laying down fat, because your body is not ready to process that that food. Whereas if you're in a rhythm, then you will have the time when the body's expecting the food, expecting to sleep, and the whole system works more efficiently.
Right.
And your hormones and various other systems in your body, your immune system that protects you against disease, all of those things know what to expect at each time of the day. So,
you need a big feed before bed.
So if you do, you are the type of person, some people don't need much sleep, like we hear these famous stories, Margaret Thatcher, Hitler, apparently, he only slept for 4 hours, probably because he was expecting a knife in his back or something, and then some other people need a lot more sleep. But the thing is to try and go to sleep in a routine way at the same time every night.
And what about gargle now?
Gargle. Well, it really...
Else with a few pints, you know?
Yeah, it does mess up the sleep, there's no doubt about it. You kind of get these mad dreams, and you wake up in the middle of the night, and whereas you might think that you're having a big long sleep and a lie-in, actually the quality of your sleep is very poor. So you can wake up the next morning after a good few drinks and you just feel awful, because obviously you've got the toxins in your body from the alcohol, but also your sleep hasn't been what it should be. So you're sleep deprived and you have these toxins. So that's the hangover that we all know and hate.
Right. Okay. So now we know. So don't have those big meals. Try and cut down on the gargle. At least make a big gap between actually going to sleep and having those. And, well, you know, try and be relaxed, I suppose.
Try and be relaxed, exactly.
There's more to this, and no doubt Sean's going to tell us about that, about dreaming and things like that when he returns to us again.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, SeanDuke.com for all your science information.
Thanks, Declan.
Good to see you, Sean. Thank you.